This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Lots and lots of interesting information still coming out from the 12-day war and, of course, from President Trump's poison tip pen, let's say, because he does have a tendency to write things in a particular way. But lots of speculation this morning that the president is trying to support Prime Minister Netanyahu in his trial that has been ongoing already for quite some time in Israel. The trial that he's undergoing, and that President Trump has come out saying that this is like a witch hunt and that Israel should really leave Netanyahu alone. He says the US saved Israel and now it's going to save Bibi. That is the way that President Trump is putting things. I have little doubt that the US helped Israel and supported Israel. There is no question about that. Whether we can go as far as to say the US saved Israel, well, I think we'll all have our views on that. There is certainly a debate to be held. But apparently now he thinks he is the savior of the world and he's coming in to intervene in this particular trial. I mean, I think there have to be limits somewhere, right? As far as how much people can intervene from outside, interfere from outside. I think that potentially here we are crossing the limit.
Yeah, there's very little doubt about that. That said, you know, when you hear it from somebody outside of Israel and with such a strong and important voice, you know, part of you does say, yeah, maybe this is becoming a bit ridiculous. It's been going on since 2020. The guy has been fighting for Israel's survival since then. And I know, of course, if he's guilty of some crime or even the hint of it, it needs to be exposed. I get all of that. But at the same time, you know, Trump saying it does, in a way, kind of shift a perception a little bit, and it does make it look a little unnecessary. I don't know.
It really does, and one wonders to what extent this is coordinated with Prime Minister Netanyahu, or even potentially even requested by Prime Minister Netanyahu, given the standing at the moment and the voice, the strength of the voice, as you say. Just one other little snippet, which is completely unrelated to anything, but just which caught my eye and which gives us a little welcome break, I suppose, from the war situation, is that apparently the British Medical Association is currently holding their annual conference. And they have a 3-day conference that they're holding, which I think is an annual thing. And it really is there to debate motions about medical ethics and about health and about the National Health Service in England and all the rest of it. And interestingly, 43 of the resolutions which are being debated at their conference all relate to Israel. Now, if that's kind of not a crazy situation, then I don't know what is, because I don't understand. Well, I mean, when I read the motions that they have put forward, they try, of course, to tie them into medical issues. But it's astonishing that fully 1 in 10 motions, 10% of the motions that are being discussed at the conference of the British Medical Association are relating to Israel and to what's happening in Gaza.
It's remarkable, absolutely remarkable. Let's talk about this terrible, terrible story. Details have now been made known about how 7 IDF soldiers were killed in Gaza late on Tuesday. What do we know?
Yeah, so Tuesday was just quite an emotional day in Israel. First of all, we started with a terrible incident in Beersheba where four people were killed by Iranian missile fire. And then later in the day, we heard about the deaths of seven IDF soldiers in Gaza. They were soldiers in the combat engineering battalion. And what we understand is that the Israeli Air Force had been called upon to attack certain locations in Gaza. This was fully coordinated with troops on the ground, and the current way in which the troops operate in Gaza when the Air Force is about to become active and to drop missiles near to where ground troops are located. The instruction is that ground troops need to take cover in an armored personnel carrier in order to make sure that they are safe from the attacks that carried out by the Air Force. The last thing that we want is friendly fire to harm our troops on the ground. And that's what happened in this particular case. Those soldiers entered into the armored personnel carrier. The IDF are using different kinds of armored personnel carriers in Gaza. The older kind of carrier that's being used is called a Puma, and there is a more updated carrier, more modern, which is called a Namer, which is loosely translated to Panther, if that's what you want to call it. And so these troops took cover in the older version of the armored personnel carrier, which is the Puma. And what we hear from what we've been told by the IDF is that there were terrorists on the ground operating in that area. And they took the opportunity when those troops entered into the armored personnel carrier to come with explosive devices to attack that vehicle. Now, in theory, the vehicle should be able to withstand a certain level of attack. I mean, that's what an armored personnel carrier is really all about. And I've seen different versions of the stories to whether there wasn't an explosive device actually somehow attached to the vehicle on the outside. Or one story I saw said that the terrorist had actually climbed onto the roof of this armored personnel carrier while it was there in Gaza waiting, and somehow managed to open the hatch at the top and thrown
Oh,
a
my goodness.
device into the armored personnel carrier. Unfortunately, all seven soldiers who were in that vehicle were killed. A massive, massive tragedy. There were stories about the fact that the vehicle caught fire. The army has confirmed that there were no secondary explosions. In other words, that there were no explosive devices that were being carried on the armored personnel carrier, which might have then exploded as a result of that initial attack. So we understand that the vehicle actually somehow caught fire, and there were attempts to try to douse the fire with water and with sand from the surrounding area. And at one point, the vehicle was even dragged out of Gaza very, very quickly to Israeli territory to try and take care of things. Unfortunately, there seemed to be no possible way to save those soldiers. And we, of course, are really very, very heartbroken about this incident, and our condolences go to their families, because being, as it came on that day, such a massive tragedy, was very, very heart sore for us. We all made us all very heart sore. And of course, there are questions now being asked about the procedures that are being used, which armored personnel carriers are being used, why the older version, the Puma, is being used, and why the Namer is not more prevalent, because apparently that's considered to be a lot safer. How it is that this particular terrorist managed to get his explosive device into a place that would ultimately cause the vehicle to catch fire and to harm these soldiers. But I hope that the investigation will ultimately help to save future lives, but unfortunately, for now at least, it's not going to help these families, and it's not going to help us as we try to get through this grief. So, a very, very big tragedy. And other news in Gaza is that there continues to be looting of food aid that is being sent to Gaza. Further pictures are showing Hamas operatives still active in Gaza, somehow managing to take control of massive quantities of food that are being shipped into Gaza. And in fact, Israel has said they're going to stop allowing aid to go into Gaza for a moment in order to try and work out with the IDF how it is possible to somehow protect those vehicles so that they don't get hijacked and they don't get looted immediately upon entering Gaza. There has been, of course, the program, which has been sponsored by the US, of distributing food to Gazans in a more secure way. That program continued to be quite successful, although I haven't heard reports over the last day or two as to how that distribution program is going. But that was always designed to be the replacement, if you like, the way forward, rather than these other trucks that are going in, which are being subject to looting. But right now, there's still massive looting of food. And of course, the moment there is food, there is power. And Hamas are taking very serious steps against anybody who anyways tries to prevent them from getting their hands on the food. There have been stories of executions by Hamas for people who've somehow got involved in trying to prevent them from getting their hands on the food. So they're taking this very seriously, because this is an attack on their power base. The food represents for them the power base in Gaza. And there are stories about a further hostage negotiation. Steve Witkoff has said that there are hostage negotiations. He's also referred to other countries wanting to get involved in the Abraham Accords, but we understand that there is some progress somehow in the hostage negotiations, although I did see that Israel said they hadn't sent a delegation to Egypt where the latest discussions are taking place. And we kind of all wonder to ourselves whether the war against Iran and the success that Israel has had in that war against Iran might well somehow help to progress this negotiation, which has been taken forever and really not delivering results over the last few months. We've just had a hiatus, a status quo in things, and somehow we need to break open this logjam and somehow succeed in getting our hostages out of Gaza. So that really has to be a main priority, and I think that the IDF certainly considers it to be a key priority for them.
It's been a fascinating a story that I've started to see developing, that the IDF chief of general staff has revealed that the Israeli commando troops were actually operating on the ground in Iran during the 12-day war. What else is known about this?
Well, not a great deal, and it's a little surprising for me that they've decided to divulge this information at this time, because it came exactly on the same day that President Trump made this kind of crazy statement saying, we know about the damage that was caused to Fordo and to other nuclear facilities in Iran because Israel has men on the ground and has gone to see the damage that has been caused to these facilities. So he's really blowing open the fact that Israel has representatives on the ground in whatever form that is feeding back this intelligence and this information. And then, of course, we get the news from Chief of General Staff Eyal Zamir saying that during the 12-day war, Israel had commando troops on the ground in Iran. And I started to wonder to myself how ground troops actually reached Iran. We didn't see any helicopter drops of troops, and it's highly unlikely that they would have been parachuted into Iran, given the fact that paratroopers are generally considered to be sitting ducks, considered to be targets as they come down, and they have no way of defending themselves until they reach the ground. So how did we get ground troops into into Iran? Was it up via a land route somehow? Did we drop them off by helicopter in Azerbaijan somewhere nearby, and then they came over the border by land? Did they come by sea and potentially get into Iran? This is all a very fascinating story, and one which I've thought a lot about. But the fact that we've had ground troops in Iran during this 12-day war, and I'm guessing before and potentially even afterwards, in fact, the head of the Mossad, Dudi Barneya, has said that Israel continues to have some sort of a representation in inverted commas, in Iran, even after the war, and will continue for the foreseeable future. So it all shows the level of intelligence, the heroic actions which are being taken by our troops, by our intelligence community, to make sure that we've got the right information. And to be fair, the work that they did prior to the war was really in evidence during the period of the war, as we saw how accurate the hits were, how much information we had about individuals and about locations and about movements of troops and about facilities. We had all the information that we could hit it very hard indeed. So we are going to talk a lot about stories from the war, I'm sure. And please, listeners, write in and tell me if you think that this is not what you want to hear, or if you've heard them all before. But there are certainly a lot of stories. I mean, one of the stories that I'd like to talk about is the heroism of people in the home front, citizens of Tel Aviv, who couldn't stay in their apartments because their bomb shelters were a number of floors down. They didn't have some sort of secure room in their apartment. People with mobility issues couldn't keep running up and down the stairs during bomb sirens. And so they chose to decamp themselves into underground train stations, light rail stations in Tel Aviv, or into shopping malls where they could easily get to bomb shelters. And then charities came along and dished out tents to all of these individuals who'd camped themselves out in the malls and in underground stations. And they set up play areas for children, and they dished out food, and they dished out all kinds of necessary things that were needed for people to stay there safely. There was just massive heroism even on the home front, and there's a lot that we can talk about over the coming weeks.
And no doubt we will. Anthony Wright, thank you as always. Thank you again for a phenomenal week of Israel reporting. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you for the Israel Report 7:45 on Monday morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.